Hello, welcome to This Week in the Atlantic Coast Conference, the podcast for allsportsdiscussion.com. This is Jeff, one of your podcast hosts. You can follow me on Twitter at TalkingACCSports. The podcast moderator tonight is Matthew, and you can follow him at HokieSmash_ASD. I'm going to turn it over to Matthew now as he gives you a word from our sponsor.
Good evening. We are sponsored by Main Street Pharmacy in Blacksburg, Virginia. They are at 301 South Main Street, Suite 107, Blacksburg, Virginia, 24060. You can follow Main Street Pharmacy on Twitter at Main Street Farm. That's at MainStreetPharm. And this week, we have a great return guest on the show and Michael Hunter, who runs the site ACC Basketball Report. And he has a great podcast associated with the site. And he's really at a bunch of other places for college hoops, ACC college hoops, national college hoops, whatever you want to say. He's at a bunch of different places. We're going to find out where he's at tonight. You can follow Michael on Twitter at ACCBR1. Michael, welcome back, man. We're really happy to have you back. Before we start, is there anything out there that you want to plug? Because we are going to preview ACC basketball tonight. The floor is yours, Michael. You there, Michael? Michael, you there, buddy?
All right. Yeah, you guys got me?
Yeah, we got you.
All right, a little technical difficulty there. This is a bit of a new platform. I used to actually use Podbean back in the day, but I haven't in a while. So to answer your question, nothing official right now that I want to plug. I'm working on some stuff with friends Sean Dillon and Eric Haslam for some stuff that we're going to be doing in the future. I am writing for college basketball again at basketballarticles.com, which is a Noop Sports site that we're doing, part of the Sports 2.0 network that we launched last year. There is a proposal on the table for me to do a webcast, a video blog, maybe once a week. So we're looking to see who I get paired up with that for once a week. We'll be doing that, but that's all stuff that we're still talking about. Nothing's really taken off yet, but I'm excited for what the future holds.
Awesome, man. Awesome. We're happy to have you back, man. So let's talk about it, man. Coach K, this is it. He's finally retiring.
You know, I've been, an antagonistic with Coach K, since I've been old enough to know better. I'm not really looking forward to the whole farewell tour. That's never really been my cup of tea, regardless of who it is, not just because it's Coach K, but I'm not a fan of it at any point. I would prefer that people handle it kind of like how, Coach Roy Williams handled it. But Coach K, it's the end of an era. It's going to be interesting to see where Duke goes from here. Coach K is not my favorite person on the sidelines or in the press conference. And I think he gets away with any and everything. And I think the NCAA kind of turns a blind eye, and that kind of aggravates me year over year. But also at the same time, I feel, somewhat privileged to see, arguably what some would consider to be the greatest coach to ever coach college basketball for most of my, teenage and adult life. So, we've seen some amazing things, but I'm interested to see how Duke carries on without him as well.
I think it's a very good point, and I think it's always also a very good point to let you both know, Jeff and Michael, that Virginia Tech's going to win on the road in Duke in December. I just want to make sure you both know that.
I'll you send me a Virginia Tech t-shirt, I'll wear it that night for sure.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Okay. So the next segment here, man, we're going to talk about it's stock. We call it stock prices, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which ACC team do you think is going to do better this year than expected? If we're using a stock reference, who are you buying early? And we're also going to go on the flip side here. Which ACC team do you think is going to do worse than expected? If we're using a stock reference, who are you selling? The floor.
I guess for buying, I think there's two teams that kind of stick out to me. One of them we've already mentioned already in the show is Virginia Tech. I think Nyheim Alain is a guy that nobody really talks about but can put up points in a hurry, especially on nights when he seems to knock down that first shot. He just seems to get it rolling. And, you know, sometimes he'll go, you know, 7 for 8 and score 22. And other nights he'll put a goose egg up there. So he's always really, really hot or really, really cold. I'd like to see him become a little bit more consistent now that he's a little bit older of a player. But he's going to get his opportunities this year to score the basketball, and I think that he's going to take advantage of that. I really do like Virginia Tech. I think we've seen that Mike Young doesn't need really superstars. He's just going to go out there and coach his ass off, and that's just kind of working in Blacksburg right now. So Virginia Tech is a team that I'm buying. Another team that I'm really buying that I had finishing fourth in the conference is Syracuse. Cole Swider at the 4 is interesting to me. Seems like he's really developed into the shooter that we all thought he was going to be when coming into college. And then, you know, you've got weapons around, and Buddy Boeheim is a tremendous shooter. Obviously, Joe Girard is a better shooter than what he showed last year, I think. Jesse Edwards seems to develop into that big guy that I think can anchor down that zone. So that's going to be good for them. Syracuse could be one of the best shooting teams in the conference. I think they'll do really well. As far as teams that I'm selling, Josh Pastner's done a great job at Georgia Tech. Obviously, Georgia Tech is my team. All you're going to do is walk around my Twitter feed for 5 minutes and realize who I'm a fan of. But, you know, losing a guy like Jose Alvarado, losing a guy like Moses Wright, I mean, that was the heart and soul of that program for the last 3 years. Jose really being the heart and soul of that program for the last 4. I mean, he had an attitude just as a freshman that Pastner was able to kind of build a foundation around, and that really worked for them. I think Georgia Tech has talent. I think Devian Smith is the answer at point guard. I think he's going to turn out to be a very good player. And then you got a guy like Kyle Sturdivant backing him up. But in that front court, there are huge question marks. Saba Djigbaria is a guy who's raw that I think Coach Rev can develop over time, but I don't think he's there yet. Jordan Mika has had health issues with his back. Rodney Howard is the most likely guy to see the most minutes early on, but you might as well strap a couple cast iron frying pans to the ends of his arms because he's just got terrible hands. I don't know, maybe you go Jordan Usher as a small ball 5. I think that's asking a lot of him given the size that's in the ACC. But I think Georgia Tech's going to struggle unless, you know, Miles Kelly and Debo Coleman really step up and give you the big time shooters. Maybe they go 5 guards like Jay Wright used to do at Villanova. I don't know. They're very interesting, but it's also not a great outlook. And I think the other team that I'm selling is North Carolina State. I know everybody's high on Cam Hayes, Devin Daniels, Manny Bates. But, you know, this is a team that, you know, they had all these guys before. And they had other guys like, you know, Shaquille Moore. They had DJ Funderburk. Jericho Helms will show up once every 3 games and give you an efficient night. But I'm starting to waver on my support of Kevin Keats and his ability to coach at the ACC level. I'm not sure that Cam Hayes is a superstar. I think he's good. I think he's a good player. But, you know, Manny Bates is probably going to get hurt. He seems to be oft injured. He's going to miss a few games here and there. But just for whatever reason, this NC State team just doesn't get me excited like some people are acting. I don't think they're going to finish in the top half of the league. I don't think they're going to finish ahead of Georgia Tech, who I just kind of ran into the ground a little bit. So those are two teams that I'm selling. Two teams I'm buying, Syracuse, Virginia Tech. Two teams I'm selling, Georgia Tech and NC State.
Very good, sir. Very good, sir. Jeff?
All right, thanks, Matthew. Michael, who are some of the newcomers we should know in the ACC, players and coaches?
I think everybody's kind of talked Paolo Banchero at Duke. He's going to be, obviously, he's the preseason player of the season. preseason player of the year in the ACC, which, you know, take that for whatever it's worth. His teammate, also a freshman, Trevor Keels, is a kid that I'm really interested in seeing play. I haven't seen a whole lot of him, but he's very intriguing to me. I already mentioned one kid at Georgia Tech, Debo Dallin Coleman, is, you know, he's 6'5", 6'6". He might run a little bit of point. He's a bigger guard. He's a knockdown shooter. One of the, I believe he's the best Georgia Tech recruit since Mike DeVoe, which it's been a few years. So, you know, this three-man recruiting class that Georgia Tech has coming in is really good. There's a kid named Jalen Moore that is kind of a pogo stick. He's about 6'7". I'm not sure how many minutes he's going to see, but he's athletic as all get out. The other kid that doesn't seem to get much play is this Terquavion Smith for NC State. I think he's a good player. Seeing a lot of stuff about him in these preseason scrimmages and stuff like that they've got going on. And then I guess as far as other newcomers, Caleb Mills at Florida State is a kid that really intrigues me, really high-level scorer, can really shoot the ball. So I'm interested in watching him play and see if there's any kind of learning curve going from a conference like the American to someone like the ACC. So,
all right. So that kind of leads us into the next question. And you've already mentioned a couple of these names already, Michael. But let's look at some early season, preseason awards here in the ACC. And we want to get your thoughts on it. You know, who's your preseason ACC Player of the Year, ACC Defensive Player of the Year, your ACC Newcomer of the Year, and your ACC Coach of the Year?
I think, you know, Player of the Year, I got to go with Banchero as well. He's not quite the exciting player that Zion was. Obviously, Zion was kind of a freakish type player, once in a generational type talent as far as athleticism goes. But Banchero's got, you know, he's 6'10". He's got handle. He's got shake. He can go to the hole. He can finish at the rim. He can shoot the three. He's kind of a unicorn that we often refer to those players as unicorns. So I've got to go with him. I think he's the most talented player in the conference. But we also saw last season, you know, Jalen Johnson was probably the most talented guy in the ACC last year and just couldn't get it together for Coach K. So, for whatever reason, I don't know why that Jalen Johnson experiment kind of fell apart, but it seems to work out for Coach K with these individual talents more than it doesn't. I can't really remember a time when it fell apart other than Johnson. So I think he's going to get the most out of Banchero. I think Duke probably finished second in the league, and I think he's probably going to be the Player of the Year. Defensive Player of the Year, I got to go with my guy Manny Bates. He's going to block whatever, 100 shots, 120 shots. And, you know, he's going to average 3.5 per game or whatever they're going to play. And I think he's probably get that wrapped up. What was the other ones? Newcomer? Is that what we were talking?
Yeah, Newcomer of the Year and then your ACC Preseason Coach of the Year.
I think Newcomer of the Year is Caleb Mills at Florida State. Again, I think he has a good shot at being top 5, top 10 maybe in the league in scoring, with an outside shot of leading the league in scoring. But like I said, it'll be fun to see how he adjusts to the ACC. But he's a heck of a player for those who haven't seen him play. Coming in from Houston, where he was coached by Calvin Sampson, which is a coach that I love. I think he's going to be a tremendous asset to Florida State. I think Florida State's going to be just what they always are. They're going to be long, athletic. They're going to get easy buckets in transition. They're going to shoot a lot of threes, and they're going to be solid on the defensive end. And Coach of the Year, it's funny because, you know, it lays out almost perfectly for Coach K to win an ACC Coach of the Year award, which he never does. They never seem to give him the Coach of the Year award, regardless of whatever record he puts up. So for that reason, the ACC voters seem to like their shiny new things. And I think that Hubert Davis is going to win the league in his first season. I have North Carolina finishing first. So I think that Hubert Davis will probably win ACC Coach of the Year. If not, I would probably go with Mike Young. I think Virginia Tech finishes fifth. They could finish, I think, as high as fourth. We'll see how that goes. But for whatever reason, you hardly ever see Coach K or Boeheim or any of those guys win it. It seems like, oh, they're Hall of Famers already. They don't need the accolades. Let's give it to Josh Pastner or Leonard or somebody else. So I think this year it's going to be Hubert Davis.
All right. Matthew, do you want to chime in here on any thoughts on any of these preseason rankings, preseason awards?
Yeah. Michael, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the addition of Storm Murphy at Virginia Tech, because I thought you might have said something about him on ACC Newcomer.
Yeah, I've talked about Storm on some other shows already this year. I am a huge fan of continuity. Continuity both on the bench and the coaching staff, as well as continuity on as far as the roster goes. I think that's ultimately been one of the bigger issues. That's why you don't see Kentucky and Duke winning lots and lots of tournament games with these rosters that they turn over 80% of every year. And, you know, Storm is a guy that played for Mike Young at Wofford and is a hell of a player. He's a heck of a shooter. And we've seen what Mike Young has been able to do with guys that can shoot the basketball. He's going to, if you can shoot and you can shoot at an efficient rate, he's going to cut you loose and he's going to find you ways to get open shots. Storm is a point guard that's much better offensively than what Bisabidi was. You're not going to get the same high level of defense that you got out of Beattie, but it's going to be interesting to see how those two kind of swap off, because it presents challenges on both sides of the basketball for opponents as far as when they're both at the floor. So I do like Storm Murphy. I think, you know, we saw how, you know, Keve Aluma didn't really phase him stepping up from Wofford going into the ACC. I mean, he became, you know, five times the player that he was before. So, I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. He can shoot the heck out of the ball, and I think Mike Young's going to find him ways to get good open looks.
Absolutely, it's going to be fun. It will be different for me, Michael, to see a point guard that teams have to respect when they're shooting. Because I'll be fair, I mean, and you nailed it. I mean, prior point guard Wabisa didn't necessarily have as much offense as I would have liked.
Yeah. You know, what's funny was when I saw Wabisa play, I think he went to school up in the Northeast somewhere. I want to say somewhere in Massachusetts, I think.
He did. Yes.
But Georgia Tech recruited him as well. And I always thought that he was a better offensive player than what he showed in college, but for whatever reason, it just never came to that. It never kind of developed, and then he became a defensive specialist and just somebody who initiated the offense. And I mean, that's fine; it worked for them. But I always thought he was a better offensive player than what he showed.
It's gonna be a lot different next year. Yeah, because then you get down to those last few seconds, you know that the point guard can take a few shots if you need it. So I'm looking forward to that. Go ahead, Jeff. You're up.
All right, Matthew. Michael, as we go into the season, rank the ACC teams for us from 1 to 15.
I go back and forth all the time. I put out a ranking the other day and said it was the final ranking, and I've already changed it a couple of times. But I think, like I said, North Carolina wins the league. I get them finishing at 1. Then the top 5, I have Duke at 2, Florida State at 3. Syracuse at 4, Virginia Tech at 5, and then 6 through 10. I have Virginia finishing 6th, which I'm kind of giving Tony Bennett the benefit of the doubt. I look at that roster and I don't know. Reese Beekman's going to have a big year, and some guys. Francisco Cafaro is going to have to step up. It's going to be an interesting year in Charlottesville, but you know Tony Bennett's still a magician, so we'll see what he does with that roster. At 7, I have Louisville, who I feel a little bit better about after watching them play the other night. I had some questions about them, but I think they're going to be okay. 8, I have Notre Dame. They've got a veteran crew. I really like the addition. I think it's an underrated addition with Yale transfer Paul Atkinson. I think that was a really kind of under the radar transfer. I think, you know, he's going to slide into there to that spot that Juwan Durham kind of vacated. And I think, he's a former Ivy League player of the year. He's no slouch. I think he's going to do fine. So he's going to fill in that roster admirably, I believe. Not a lot of depth there, but I do like It's about time that this Notre Dame class, this senior class, or I should say fourth year class, put something together. I've been high on Notre Dame for years, and they always seem to disappoint. I always catch a lot of flack from the Bustin' Brackets guys, and I'm hoping this year is the year that I have them maybe a bit underrated. So I have Notre Dame at 8, Georgia Tech I have at 9, NC State I have at 10. I'm trying to find my list as I'm reciting this, but I'm think I'm going to get there without actually being able to find it. NC State at 10, Clemson at 11, which this I think this has got to be Brad Brownell's last year. I think that it's time to make that move. That Sweet 16 run that they made a few years ago, that's you're trending in the wrong direction, I think, at this point. After that, and then you finish up with kind of the usual suspects, Pitt, Miami, Wake Forest, Boston College. You can kind of put them. I think Boston College is clearly the worst team in the league. I would guess I would put Wake Forest at 14. I liked some of the pieces that Pitt had coming into the season, but with Nike Sabande going down with an ACL loss for the year, that's kind of not a big blow because he's kind of hot and cold, but I think he was about he was going to have a good year this year with Sabande, Ithiel Horton, and Odekali. I think they were going to be a pretty nice trio for Jeff Capel. But again, that Pitt roster has been gutted by transfers, even middle of the season transfers last year, which was kind of crazy. And then, Miami, Charlie Moore's no Chris Likes, and, they've been hit by transfers. Larinaga, it's kind of crazy. Larinaga's been bad for a couple years now, but he gets the respect from both fans and seems like journalists alike. But I think eventually it's going to be time for one of them to move on, whether it be the school or the coach. I think one of them is going to move on here pretty quick. So you can kind of, order that last four however you see fit. But I think Boston College is definitely the worst team in the league.
And it's interesting what you said about Jim Larinaga, because I think he's kind of the David Cutcliffe of ACC basketball on the basketball side. I mean, both guys a little bit older, definitely can mm-hmm. coach. No one will deny their coaching chops. Had a lot of success, at Duke, at Miami, won a lot of big games, and now the programs have just kind of gotten to the point where they just gotten kind of stale. And it definitely does kind of seem like Miami might want to move in a new direction, especially if this year, doesn't go as they hope it would. And, I definitely would have them, closer to the bottom for sure than the top as well. So, you never want to see two really great coaches kind of go out on a down note. But, with David Cutcliffe and probably Jim Larinaga, I see a lot of similarities.
Yeah, and it's strange about, because we know that Larinaga can coach.
Right.
And, I mean, if you give – I'm not going to say anybody. If you give Coach K or Leonard or Mike Young even, if you give him a roster that has Charlie Moore, Isaiah Wong, Harlan Beverly, Cam McGusty, and Anthony Walker III, if you give him that roster, they're probably going to do more with it than what Larinaga has done in the last couple of years. And it really comes down to defense, I think. They just don't seem to want to play defense. And the other thing is, Larinaga still recruits at a high level. And for whatever reason, it's just not translating to wins. You think about some coaches, like specifically Buzz Williams comes to mind, where when he went to Texas A&M, basically said, I want to change schools every 6-7 years so this doesn't happen. So you don't get stale. You keep it fresh. You either die the hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. And I think that's kind of what's happened with Larinaga, though nobody really sees him as the villain yet because he's just a lovable old granddad, it seems like. But the results just haven't been there since they had that big season. What seems like forever ago now, it's got to be 10 years ago now. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in Miami for sure.
Yeah, very good. Speaking of coaches that, in programs might be struggling a little bit, we want to get into our ACC hot seat edition. Who's on the hot seat you know, as far as ACC basketball coaches?
I got two that stick out to me right now. Brownell has got to be at Clemson. I mean, you're seeing, you know, the Clemson fans usually don't hold back. I think he used to get away with it when they were okay and, you know, the football team was dominating all the headlines. And it feels like we talk about this every year. But now that the football team is having a bad season, if Brownell goes out there and lays an egg, which I think is absolutely possible with this roster, you know, I do like Dawes. I do like Honor. They've got some shooters coming off the bench. But, you know, P.J. Hall is going to have a big year because there ain't much else in that front court right now. So, but the other one I got to say is Capel at Pitt. He, you know, he showed up. He had that nice recruiting class with Audis Tony and Justin Champagne and Trey McGowan's and Xavier Johnson. And that was a great first class that he brought in. They're all gone. Three of them transferred. Two of them transferred in the middle of the season last year. And then Champagne jumped for the pros. And that roster has just been gutted. I said when he was hired that it would be a five-year rebuild. Well, he's nowhere near rebuilt yet, and his roster was just gutted by transfers. And I'm not sure what's going on the bench over there, but he seemed to have lost his locker room a little bit towards the middle to late last season. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. And then I think kind of a dark horse candidate for the hot seats, Kevin Keats at NC State. I don't think he's in any kind of danger this year. But if they, you know, if they finish 10th or, you know, 10th or 11th in the league this year and they don't have a good year next year, I think next season he could really feel his seat heat up quite a bit.
All right. Very good stuff, Michael. Matthew, I want to turn it over to you as we close in on the end of this podcast.
Okay, Michael, today, how many ACC men's basketball teams do you see in the NCAA tournament? And that's
today, I see six. You know, I've changed my order around a little bit, but I think I've got the same six teams in that I had a couple weeks ago. Duke, Carolina, Florida State, Syracuse, and the two schools from Virginia, Virginia Tech and Virginia, I think are the six. I think that, you know, the Pac-12 is starting to rebound a little bit. Big Ten is obviously going to be good again. The SEC is going to be phenomenal this year, I think. And I think that you're going to see those conferences, you know, suck up a lot of bids. The Big 12 is obviously going to be good again with some of the best teams in the nation. The top of the Big 12 is kind of the top in the nation right now. So I think the other the other Power Six conferences outside the ACC are kind of up, while the ACC itself is either kind of flat as far as where they were last year, or they might even be down a little bit compared to where they were last year. So I think you're going to see Carolina rebound as a program, but I think overall the league is going to be down just a little bit. I see six bids.
Very cool, man. Very cool. So it's open microphone time. Any topic you want to discuss? What do you got for us, Michael?
You know, I rarely take advantage of this, but I would just like to say, and I'm guilty of it myself, but of finding so much discontent and easy division amongst community, especially on social media now. And I wish that we could get to some kind of even ground out there. It seems like if you don't agree with somebody right down the line, point by point by point, then that means that we can't be friends, or you can't follow somebody on Twitter, or you can't just simply have a discussion. And you know, you're seeing that at all platforms right now. It's only getting worse. I know that I don't have the same politics as Matthew does. I lean right. I consider myself a conservative, but I also, like, you know, 20 years ago, I would be considered a moderate because I have left-leaning tendencies as well. But it seems like the moderate doesn't exist. You're either a full-blown bleeding heart liberal or a crazy racist conservative. I mean, those are the only two options anymore. And I think that as a community, we need to find a middle ground and be a cohesive unit. I think that would do a whole lot for a lot of people's psyche and us as a community, as a country, as everything. And I wish, hopefully someday we can get back to that. But right now it's getting pretty ugly out there and I'm not really caring for it. So
I agree with you. Jeff, what's up, man? What do you got?
Man, it's that time again, Matthew. We've got to bring up the Comcast deal with the ACC network.
Yes. I mean,
yeah, what is going on here? I mean, it came to my mind because they announced next week, you know, Wake Forest and NC State were going to be on the ACC network. And this is, you know, arguably – well, I wouldn't – not arguably. This is one of the top ACC games of the year. Two mm-hmm. ranked teams who are leading the Atlantic Division. The winner is probably going to go to Charlotte, you know, as the Atlantic Division champion. And they're putting this game on the ACC network, which in if Comcast is on board, I'm definitely okay with this. But this is probably the third or fourth time this year that a high-profile ACC game, you know, has been relegated to the ACC network. You know, the one that comes to mind instantly before they kind of fell off the map was, you know, Notre Dame playing at Virginia Tech. And there was Boston College at Clemson. At the time, I think Boston College was undefeated. And they're having to put these games on the ACC network. And in large part, I feel like they're trying to, you know, to get Comcast on board. But the strategy is not working. They haven't signed. I still believe they will, very much so, that the deal is going to get done. But the problem that's happening, and it's kind of turning into a fiasco, is you're getting these high-profile games are getting marginalized nationally. So Wake Forest and, you know, NC State should be a national TV game.
Yes.
You know, we should see Sam Hartman and Devin Leary just going after it, you know, on national TV. And we've got a large portion of the cable subscribing community unable to see the game now because they've put it on the ACC network. So this is something that's got to get done by the ACC, ESPN, and Comcast, because this is going to work. The strategy is whatever they're doing is not succeeding, and it's relegating games that should be seen nationally, you know, to now what's become a regional network until that deal gets signed. I mean, I have no problem if you put high profile games on your network if it's got national distribution, but until that time, you know, trying to force these games on there to push, you know, viewership and people asking for it, the strategy is not working. So hopefully mm-hmm. they get this done and, you know, we're not going to end up seeing, you know, Duke, North Carolina basketball on the ACC network or, you know, Louisville and Syracuse playing on the ACC network and they're both ranking the top 15 or something like that. I think most of those games might have already been, but I mean, you never know how some of this might turn out where other high profile games are going to end up on the ACC network trying to get Comcast aboard. So, you know, ACC, ESPN, Disney, Comcast, all of them get this done. This is not good for the conference. It's not good for the programs, and it's not good look for Jim Phillips either, even if he's not directly involved with it. If it's really, you know, Comcast and ESPN negotiating, it's not a good look for him either. So, you know, get it done.
Oh, you know, so go ahead, Michael.
I don't watch college football. I can't, I, for whatever reason, I just can't get into it. For me, real football is played on Sundays, and then real basketball is played at 7 o'clock on, you know, Tuesday, Thursday, and then at noon on Saturday. But I, you know, I don't know what the struggles that you guys go through for college football, but for college basketball, I agree. It's the for, you know, Duke Carolina's got to be on ESPN at 7 o'clock at night. That's whatever night they play, whether it's a Tuesday or Thursday or a Friday. That's the time slot that game needs to be played. And you got to make these games so they can be found. Like, is it on ESPN? Is it on ESPN2? Is it on ACC Network? Is it on Network Extra? Or is it on some obscure, like, Fox Sports South that I have to get? Like, I thought the whole point of the ACC Network was to make that conference available to a wider spread, you know, experience or attendance by people outside of the Southeast. So you could, you know, you know, take advantage of the great product that is ACC basketball and broadcast it nationwide on a network where everybody can go to the same place and get that product. And for whatever reason, I mean, and I know it's the TV deal. I don't know anything about TV deals, so I'm not going to pretend to know anything about it. But just put them all on the network and make them available through the company that owns the network, which is ESPN. Either put it on your ESPN app or create an ACC network app and put that out there and just put everything in one neighborhood so you can just go find it. So I'm not at, you know, at a 7 o'clock tip off, I'm not still looking around at 10 past seven for wherever the game is supposed to be broadcast because it's blacked out on every other app. It just, it's incredibly frustrating. I think the ACC network is closer in line with the failure that it is the Pac-12 network than it is the Big Ten or the Big 12 network.
I mean, and it's, you know, the worst thing that could happen here, because we've seen this happen before, where the more likely matchup that you'll see is Virginia Tech and Virginia on this, mm-hmm. on this, Virginia Tech and Virginia will be on the ACC network, and Comcast is the largest cable provider in the Commonwealth of Virginia. So mm-hmm. nobody can see it. It's the problem's right. egregious in my state. You know, I mean, Jeff brought up the issues here. I mean, we're talking about football, right? With, you know, NC State and Wake Forest play a pretty meaningful football game this upcoming yep. week. I mean, this is both teams are on track for 10 win seasons. And that game maybe between Wake and NC State might be for ACC Coach of the Year. You know, mm-hmm. so, I mean, it's Jeff brought up all the points. It just seems like that is a deal that needs to get done. As far as the TV deal is concerned, I mean, right now, it's my personal opinion that they're just waiting for the entire Disney deal to be done with Xfinity so they can get it all done in one fell swoop. But it looks, like Jeff said, it looks bad for the commissioner who said that this was one of his top priorities to get done because it's not only access, but it's also TV revenue for the individual schools that are involved because Comcast is a big fish.
Sure. You know?
So anyway, that's there. I'll just add a couple of other things for my rant here. It just seems ridiculous that Wake and UNC this week was a non-conference football game. I'll never get that. That should be a conference game. And there were a lot of jokes on Twitter about how that was a non-conference football game. The other thing I'll say is that, boy, Justin Fuente's done. I mean,
I don't even watch college football. He's done.
When you see that what did they have? Like a 3 yards of passing in the first half of the game against Boston College this week. And he comes out after the game and says, I'm proud of the guys with their effort. That's when you know that. That's when you know that's it. That's it. That's the final show. So that's it, man.
Well, didn't that happen in basketball last season as well? Wasn't there a conference game or two teams from the same conference that played, but it wasn't counted as a conference game? I want to say that happened very early in the basketball season last year.
It may have been between the North Carolina teams, right? Because they kind of rotate them around and stuff, and because they, you know, all the schools in North Carolina don't have their partners as far as a round robin is concerned for football.
Right.
It may have happened for basketball as well. For a second there, I thought you were referring to the 11 points that NC State scored in Blacksburg. clank. Oh my gosh, that was one of the worst games I've ever seen in my life.
But one thing, I had a thought on that Wake and UNC, and I absolutely totally. I 100% agree with you, Matthew, that I mean, it makes no sense that is not a conference game, but I don't hold anything against Wake Forest and North Carolina for scheduling the game.
I agree.
Because it turned into an ABC matchup, mm-hmm. a great regional game, turned into a great game, a lot of fan interest for the region in North Carolina. But the reason they had to do that was because the ACC is only playing – 8 conference games, and we're going, you know, half a dozen years where traditional rivals are not playing each other.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's been so long. You'll go 12, 13 years before, you know, Wake Forest plays at UNC and vice versa. And that's really unacceptable. I mean, get rid of, You know, either go to 9 conference games, get rid of the 6-1-1 format with the permanent crossover, and start getting these teams playing more often. So, you know, I take nothing away from them at all for scheduling the game. This is a larger issue that it's also true in the SEC, you know, that teams aren't playing each other as often as they should.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Michael, thanks so much for coming on the All Sports Discussion ACC podcast, man. We love him to come on the show. And anytime you want to come on, we'd love to have you come on.
Awesome, guys. Every year, I appreciate it. You know, that's always a good time and always a good conversation. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, take care, guys. Bye.
Thanks.